God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
Well, the God of the universe created the world. He didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world as we remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. By now, I'm sure you've heard the audio bites. If you didn't see the perfect speech given by figurehead Biden as he sat behind a desk on a pillow with an emergency box of tissues next to him. All bodies age. I'm not blaming figurehead Biden for having aged. I'm blaming the press and the people who surround him for having pretended otherwise. Massive lie. You shall not lie. I worry for the souls of the gaggle of young women who were paid to rehearse screaming at the top of their lungs to prevent the figurehead from hearing questions and from questions from the press being heard by you. You saw that, right? The young girls, well, young women screaming, press, 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 press. And the moment they quieted down and reporters could be heard, they began screaming again. No, I'm not saying talking loud, screaming. When that happened, the mentally decrepit and obviously, sadly, spiritually captured Joe Biden looked at the camera, sadly smirked, and shrugged his shoulders. There's nothing I can do. I mean, all I am is the leader of the free world. But these are 26-year-old, 25, 26-year-old staffers screaming. I'm impotent, utterly impotent. You know, they talk a lot about the Wizard of Oz, the peeling back of the curtain. The miraculous way God has chosen to take our temple, because in America, our government has been our temple, our Constitution has been our temple, our Bill of Rights, the great temple of Washington, D.C. He's just cut the curtain in half, just dropped it. So much theater. And the speech by Biden was perfect. He read his lines perfectly. How could I say that? Because it revealed the truth of an empty man, bereft of morality, any governing theory beyond graft. And sadly, sadly, I hate to say this, cozying up for an eternity that I believe is going to be apart from God. But God is judge, not me. God makes that decision. But how could a man who has allowed so much evil to be done through him, up to and including this perfect speech, which perfectly encapsulated what he is, has become, how could he expect otherwise? I know this rubs up against one of those big theological debates, once saved, always saved. No one can snatch us from the hands of the Lord Jesus. I believe that wholeheartedly. No one can snatch us away from the Lord Jesus. I believe that wholeheartedly. Scripture tells us that. But too often we're warned, Christians, believing Christians, warned to not be deceived, to not wander. Too often we're warned these things. I think of the book of Revelation. where we're told that the Lord Jesus views a church as lukewarm. He's speaking to the faithful, viewing them as lukewarm, spitting them out of his mouth. That doesn't sound hopeful to me. I believe you can say about the gift of redemption, I don't want it anymore. I'm done with it. I found other things more compelling. That's why I believe we're warned. I understand it's debatable. I may well be wrong. And I understand the statement of, well, then you were never really saved. I'm watching a figurehead who has been responsible for injecting people with cancer-causing agents wrapped up in the magic word vaccine. The gentleman who bought the LA Times, did you know that he is a world-class transplant surgeon? He told the Epoch Times recently that he has suddenly begun seeing colon cancer in 8 and 9 year old children. Colorectal cancer, never in his life has he seen this. The figurehead did that. It was done through him, the mandates. The figurehead in this speech was perfect. It's perfectly encapsulated who he is. Here's Joe Biden reading from his teleprompter, which gives a warning to the country of an oligarchy forming in America that is literally threatening our democracy.
That's why my farewell address tonight, I want to warn the country of some things that give me great concern. And this is a dangerous concentration, and that's a dangerous concentration of power in the hands of a very few ultra-wealthy people. And the dangerous consequences if their abuse of power is left unchecked. Today, an oligarchy is taking shape in America of extreme wealth, power, and influence that literally threatens our entire democracy, our basic rights and freedoms, and a fair shot for everyone to get ahead. We see the consequences all across America, and we've seen it before, more than a century ago. But the American people stood up to the robber barons back then and busted the trusts. They didn't punish the wealthy. This made the wealthy play by the rules everybody else had to. That's why my farewell address tonight, I want to warn
the figurehead in that statement is the same figurehead under whom, at the orders of BlackRock, BlackRock said, we need to infuse billions, hundreds of billions into the American economy. That's what they said. The Federal Reserve conjured digits, called it debt on our backs. The U.S. Treasury took that money. $150 billion, they did this twice. It's a total of about $360 billion, actually. They took those conjured digits that the Federal Reserve announced we owe them for. They turned those into cash that went back to BlackRock-owned companies illegally. The Treasury's not allowed to hand out money that way, but they did it twice. BlackRock, Citibank, Vanguard, owned companies, got that money and went about purchasing real estate on the cheap, pennies on the dollar, real estate markets decimated by the lockdowns that Pfizer wanted. The same Pfizer that Tony Fauci and others protected. They wanted 150 years to go by. It was initially 75, then 150 before we could see their research, their safety research on the COVID shots. But yeah, figurehead Biden's deeply concerned about an oligarchy. We know that because he read the words on a teleprompter. What would it be like to be so captured that you are, on one hand, the leader of the free world, on the other hand, sitting on a pillow reading words someone wrote for you. I don't even know if Joe Biden's capable of knowing things, believing things. But to me, that seems like hell. It seems like hell. Maybe he is beginning to experience that. Praise God, I'm still capable of sadness for him. I believe you are watching a man headed into hell. I'm just torn by the pictures of his family surrounding him. Hunter Biden, his drug-addicted son who traffics in human flesh, both that of women and the photographic evidence seems to indicate that Hunter Biden traffics in the bodies of children, including young cousins. His daughter, Ashley, so broken, writing in her diary about apparent sex abuse by that same man. Perfect address. Joe Biden also read about misinformation and different disinformation from his teleprompter.
Americans are being buried under an avalanche of misinformation and disinformation, enabling the abuse of power. The free press is crumbling. Editors are disappearing. Social media is giving up on fact-checking. The truth is smothered by lies told for power and for profit. We must hold the social platforms accountable to protect our children, our families, and our very democracy from the abuse of power.
It's been clear through lawsuits, Freedom of Information Act, discovery, that people who run Joe Biden, and in fact, Biden himself, apparently, according to Mark Zuckerberg, Biden made some of the phone calls screaming at them to take down truthful information about the COVID shots, about the border, about the war in Ukraine, which is the most important country in the world, always has been. Ukraine has been our key ally from the moment this country was founded. Well, so we're told. The amount of disinformation that came out of the mouth of the figurehead is astonishing.
Under my watch, border entries decreased.
I'm not trying to mock his dementia. No, the border crossings haven't decreased, they've increased because your bosses built a custom Border Patrol app so that illegal immigrants don't have to bother with traipsing through the desert in the presence of brutal coyotes. They can simply fly into the country illegally and then be brought into cities illegally where they destroy the Electoral College. But yeah, Joe Biden, deeply concerned about dis and misinformation, except when it comes to our country's history. Joe Biden attempted to redefine the purpose for the gift of the Statue of Liberty.
The Statue of Liberty, a gift from France after our Civil War. Like the very idea of America, it was built not by one person, but by many people from every background and from around the world. Like America, the Statue of Liberty is not standing still. Her foot literally steps forward atop a broken chain of human bondage.
One way to view that is, wow, he's so mentally lost, he doesn't know that that was actually a gift to celebrate our independence, the centennial thereof, and to honor the alliance between France and the U.S. during the American Revolutionary War. That's one way to view it. The other way to view it is, wow, his staff is so stupid about history, they don't know that. Wonder how I view it? Purposeful deception. Because figurehead Biden's job has been to teach Americans that our country is inexorably racist, inexorably evil, and has never done anything good. May God have mercy on that man, because I think I see a man headed into hell. We'll come back and give you an opportunity to save the life of a little baby inside a womb right now today somewhere near you. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. We'll be right back. appreciate you listening to Disciples View. Coming up in third segment today, you saw the looting during the LA riots. Probably the LA fires. So hard to keep track. What if I told you I could point you to an office holder who defended looting as a political act? We'll do that. We'll get to the tire babbling, wrap up the show with a personal. Right now, I want to give you an opportunity. There are, in our country, 30 million babies, 3 million, 5 million, 15 million in wombs, ready to be born. And everywhere in the world, this happens. In the United States, we have some control over this, where young women are headed into a pregnancy crisis center or an abortion facility. You have the opportunity to do something utterly, utterly miraculous in building the kingdom, in saving lives of children. Roxy Lamarghese joins me. She's the executive director of Preborn, where she manages a team of 75 passionate pro-life folks working under the president to help this happen. Roxy, welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman.
Thank you for having us again and this opportunity to save lives with you all.
Absolutely. I have this image in my mind of this young woman walking into one of these pregnancy crisis centers and shaking with fear and being told by the world that you can't have kids and have it all. You have to have a career and maybe facing a relationship that's broken, a family that's broken. She walks into those clinics and you have an opportunity, we have an opportunity today to do something for her, to introduce her to a person she's thinking of killing. Is that a terrible way to put it?
Well, that's genuinely the reality, right? I mean, these women are inundated with lies of the society and media, and we've kind of villainized as a society this child that's been a successful narrative that's been painted by the abortion industry, when we know very well, you know, that motherhood is such a beautiful thing and a beautiful gift. And but here's the reality. If you may, I just want to refute that with an actual story, because I'm very tied to a young lady who was so afraid because, you know, she's young. She's just beginning her career. This is going to be the end, right, of all things, because she's going to get pregnant. And to her, abortion was the only option. And the shame that comes with getting pregnant out of wedlock. But she ended up in this one of the pregnancy clinics that we partner so strongly. And she received the love of all these people that served there. She received a free ultrasound, and more importantly, she received the message of the gospel. This young lady gave her life to Jesus, chose life for her baby, got restored, now fully serving in church. And with her and her baby, she is full on advocating for life across the pregnancy movement.
Praise God. Praise God. And folks, you have an opportunity to do something while you sit where you're at, where you could, in fact, build the kingdom filled with more Christians who will make more Christians, disciples making disciples. Your gift of $5,000, if you've been particularly well gifted and God has provided for you, your gift of $5,000 will sponsor ultrasounds for the entire Preborn network of clinics for one day. You, through what God has given you to steward, will save the lives of 200 babies who may well themselves go on to have 600 babies who are all going to be introduced to the love of Jesus Christ, because it begins with this ultrasound. And I'll tell you, Roxy, I take this view that God looking at us down here and he up there, and I just imagine God regarding us as, well, little babies in a way. So when women see these ultrasounds, they are having almost, I mean, I hate to say it, but almost a godlike view. Here you are with this little baby growing within you. And what changes? I mean, take us into that moment where some of these mothers who've been told the lies of clumps of cells and it's not really a person. What's that like when a woman who's considering abortion actually sees the baby sucking his thumb or laughing or burping?
It is transformational. So I actually, prior to being the executive director of Preborn, I served at a clinic. I'm a nurse. I provided this ultrasound and have seen firsthand the beauty of this thing. I remember just from one of our clinics, a mom walked in there because her boyfriend is trying to force her to have an abortion. And so she said, I can't have it. He's going to leave me. But you know what? We offered her the free services, no judgment, right? And we brought them both into the ultrasound room. And when we performed the ultrasound, we remember that this baby legitimately threw a thumbs up on the screen. And all of a sudden, the father that wanted the abortion started crying.
Oh, praise God.
As it turns out, the favorite gesture of the boyfriend, the baby's father, is throwing a thumbs up.
I don't know, boy or girl, but his child, but the same gesture. Folks, if God has blessed you uniquely this year, again, $5,000, your gift to Preborn, will sponsor ultrasounds for the entire network. That $5,000 can go on to save 200 babies' lives. Here's the phone number. Call 877-616-2396. 877-616-2396, or you can go to afr.net. It doesn't need to be $5,000, but if it could be $10,000, you just doubled that. You can also give a gift of $28. Provides one woman seeking an abortion a free ultrasound, gives the mom the opportunity to see this life, to be introduced to the child she's considering killing. It's a very, 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 very different dynamic. Roxy is with us. She is the executive director of Preborn, Roxy Lamergisi. And Roxy, how many babies' lives have you saved in the Preborn partnership with these pregnancy crisis centers?
So last year alone, we saw almost 62,000 babies and more than 8,500 commitments to Christ. That's just last year. And over the past 18 years of Preborn's ministry, we've seen more than 300,000 babies saved and men, more than 80,000 women and men have surrendered their lives to Christ.
What is the role of men in this? You know, you've mentioned that twice now. How common is it for men to come into these pregnancy centers with these women?
It's actually pretty common. The wonderful thing is that a lot of the entire pregnancy movement is really moving towards involving the men, right? Because some of these women are really getting forced into this decision, either because the man is asking for it or because they don't feel supported. So instead of removing the men, there has to be a place where we empower them to step in. And if you're listening, you don't know much of the movement. It's more than just making a decision. There's actually classes that teaches men in trade school or having them go through practical things to help them get jobs, to be better fathers. Like many clinics build rooms. They call it their man cave for one-to-one discipleship. There's so much amazing things that is happening in the field of life that we could get behind on.
So it's 877-616-2396. This is where you make a donation. $140 provides five free ultrasound sessions, reaching five women with the message of life, introducing them to their child, and apparently the fathers as well, introducing them. What does it mean to these pregnancy crisis centers to be able to do this? Because I got to imagine that can be both an edifying and spiritually fulfilling job where people go in and they choose life. But man, I got to believe it's heartbreaking when a woman leaves and you know that they're headed to get an abortion. It's got to be heartbreaking.
It is both. And for everyone that's listening, I know we're asking, you know, to help us underwrite free ultrasound sessions for $28 or $140 or sponsor a day of life. And that's one of the best things that we could do to offer this thing for free. But we could also really pray for the women and men that are working these clinics. Because yes, even I working on this field have so much joy and great delight. There are days that it is hard because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. And more importantly, when you are in those clinics, in the room, counseling women, and they see these ultrasounds and they still want to have an abortion, it is heartbreaking. And many of the people in the field face this heartbreak day after day.
Roxy DeLamergisi is with us, Executive Director of Preborn. Roxy, One of the criticisms that the left makes of conservative Christian groups, it goes like this. Oh, sure, you care about the life of the child until they're born. And then you don't care. You just walk away. What does preborn do in addition to the ultrasounds?
Actually, there's a lot of services that are provided for a mom that chooses life. It goes from providing diapers to wives to formula. There's a lot of people that are providing like strollers, basically everything that you could think of for up to 2 years of birth, but not just providing like material services, but also really discipleship, because we don't want them enabled. We want them to really know the love of Jesus, accept that love, and have salvation, but at the same time that they be empowered to live a transformed lives, and really they get the best. I've stepped into, you know, our network clinics like stores, and these are brand new items given for free to families out there that choose life.
Praise God. And I know this then, as if this, or to follow the model of the Lord Jesus, as these women and these families are then discipled, I would imagine then they choose marriage, because of course this is the plan, to be a married couple to raise children. But then I'd have to imagine that they would then go get connected with the church community. Where from that perspective, then life changes ultimately, because you're around fellow Christians and an opportunity to build a solid life on the Word of God, but also chances for economic advancement as you work with the church that's going to come around you as a young family, a struggling family. I love this. You can call right now and make a difference if you've been gifted this year by God financially. And if $5,000 isn't going to make a big life change to you, do it. And if $25,000 isn't going to be a big deal to you, and you're going to earn that in carried interest, maybe you're a venture capitalist, you're a hedge fund manager, maybe you're a real estate tycoon, maybe you've just made a ton of money owning a bunch of car washes. One of the richest guys I ever met in my life made his wealth through car washes. Then just go all in. It is 877-616-2396. $5,000 will sponsor ultrasounds for the entire preborn network of clinics. For one day, you can rescue 200 babies today. Call 877-616-2396. When women come in to these pregnancy crisis centers, Roxy, what are the common questions that they have? Because I just have this picture in my mind. And again, you said that men come in as well, but I'm focusing on the woman. Ultimately, they're often the ones who make the choice about their bodies and the body within their bodies. What are the questions that they ask nervously and anxiously?
I don't know that it's most likely like, how can I do this? Mm. They come in more with the emotion of fear. Mm. Some of them hopelessness, right? Wow. Like, how is this going to work out? What are my resources? This is not going to work out. It's really like, you know, they're trying to solve this crisis with a permanent solution. When it's really temporary, when you can give them an alternative.
So they're not coming in saying, how long can I last with this baby with 6 months of income, and how do it's really just fear?
There's really a lot of fear. A lot of them come in like with a lot of fear and with a very little bit of support. And yes, those things, you know, come secondary. Like, what are you afraid of? We actually are the ones that help them process through. Why do you think this is your option? Because some of them are just in shock, and they haven't had time to process it.
When you let a woman see the ultrasound of the baby growing within her, that great miracle, this opportunity where we get to let God work through us to create life, it doubles the chances that that baby is going to survive. You can make that happen at 877-616-2396. 877-616-2396. You are a direct competitor, preborn is, the preborn ministry, to abortion clinics. Maybe you've never been in one, but what is the experience of abortion clinics? What are the lies the abortionists tell these women when they walk in the door?
How about this? I my friend walked through one of these things, and she has like just shared her story.
Okay.
And I've been near an abortion clinic. That place feels like dread, just like death. It is one of the most darkest places you could ever step foot on in your entire life. But unfortunately, my friend, she got raped, even though as she tried to live her life pure and all that, she was violated as a young lady. And at first, she really didn't know what to do. But unfortunately, at that time, she didn't have counsel. She got pregnant, and she thought that abortion was her only option. She called me crying years after when she finally repented and received forgiveness and her freedom from the Lord. And she said, I've made the biggest mistake because they told me it was the answer so that I could forget my trauma. But she said she knew the very day, the very moment that the baby came out of her body through that abortion, because she said she's never felt darkness like that in her whole entire life. And she was left worse than when she did pregnant after getting violated. And she said, the biggest lie they're going to tell you is that this thing doesn't affect you. But as a woman, it fractures you to the depth of your soul.
Well, yes, it does. And if you've made that decision, God is anxious to forgive you. He loves you. Take it to the cross. Make this happen now. Save babies. Go to 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Or donate online at AFR.net. Roxy Lamborghese, Executive Director of Preborn. Thank you. Go with God's good grace. Thank you, Roxy.
Thank you so much.
We'll come back on The Disciples' View with the Tower Babbling. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get to the Tower Babbling and wrap up the show with a personal note today. I made the promise in the first segment that I was teasing, doing a little clickbait there. You saw the looting during and after the fires in Los Angeles, in around Los Angeles, in a separate country called California. I say separate country because it has no moral, legal, constitutional attachment to the United States at all. That you saw the looting, hundreds of cars driving through neighborhoods where evacuation orders have been given, citizens standing outside, guarding their property, sometimes just with cell phones, just identifying these people. Many of them didn't speak English. I'm not saying that to say that people who don't speak English rob homes. I'm saying that there are organized cartels who said, hey, we got to go out and take advantage of this. So the looting is obnoxious. Gavin Newsom, the dictator of California, pretended to care about looting for a little while. It's not going to be tolerated. He's sending the National Guard out to key neighborhoods like Brentwood. Brentwood, by the way, is, I believe, where Kamala Harris has one of her homes in California. Got to protect that. But, of course, that state had legalized looting. As long as it's under $1,000 or $995, loot away. How could anyone defend this? Equity. It's equity. When certain racial groups are frustrated, it's okay for them to steal en masse. That's equity. How could I say something so ridiculous? Well, I don't believe that's equity, but people do. And people in a position of power. This is a former Seattle City Councilwoman you're about to hear.
Tana Morales. We need to be really careful with our language. Yes, it is disturbing to see property being destroyed. It is disturbing to see people taking property from stores. But these are things. And violence is when an agent of the state kneels on a man's neck until all of the life is leached out of his body. Destroying property which can be replaced is not violence. And to put those things, to use the exact same language to describe those two things, I think really it's not moral to do that. So, yes, I think any reasonable person would say we shouldn't be destroying other people's property. But these are not reasonable times.
Got it? She doesn't know why people get so upset about looting. Her name is Tammy Morales. She was a city councilwoman. This is how lost the left is. And it is how pandering they are to certain racial groups. I always want to remind that in the Lord Jesus' view, there's neither servant nor Greek, Greek nor Jew, servant nor master. In the body of Christ, he sees this as all one. That's how he wants to see us, because he wants us in the body of Christ. But in the left, it's become so perverse, this addiction to race baiting, race division, that they're now giving black people and brown people, as they would call them, so dehumanizing. Hey, you're a black person and a brown person. They're giving them the right to steal. As frustrating as it can be sometimes, given people like Tammy Morales, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to put him in...
The Tower of Babbling.
Oh, what would we do without the figurehead? Three sound bites in today's Tower of Babbling. During the massive death and destruction from 100% preventable fires, California held a special legislative session to prepare for Donald Trump. They even allocated $25 million to sue Trump in his upcoming term.
Good morning, members.
Despite several empty seats in the chamber because of the LA wildfires, the Democratic State Assembly gaveled into its special legislative session to prepare for incoming President Donald Trump.
I'd ask that you keep in mind...
Governor Newsom called the special session shortly after the election. As fires raged in Southern California, state lawmakers still prioritized their anti-Trump work.
The Speaker of the House, Democrat, of course, actually got asked about this by a reporter. He just refused to answer the question. She asked him, is it the right time to be doing this? He just refused to answer the question. We're 100% focused on the fires. No, you're not. You just had a special legislative meeting to deal with Trump. We're 100% focused on the fires. Liar, thief, and the murderer. The beginning of the lies in the garden. Soundbite number two in today's Tower Babbling. The TikTok manager for Kamala Harris says California is burning because of, take a big guess.
We are less than 2 weeks away from having a climate denier back in the White House. And the unfortunate reality is that Donald Trump uses natural disasters as a way to spread misinformation and divide people when they're at their lowest. I mean, we literally just saw it a few months ago, right before the election, when he was spreading all these types of lies about the federal government's response and aid to Hurricane Helene and Hurricane Milton.
It's, of course, the fault of the literal Orange Hitler. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling, Bill Gates mentioned governments and fires.
Nobody, I would say, gets an A on this one. Sadly, epidemics come along so rarely that it's easy to be incompetent. You know, earthquakes, fires, they come more often, storms. And so governments, you know, they're pretty good on fires.
I guess most are. Not California's. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
Young black kids growing up in the Bronx who don't even know what the word a computer is. They don't know. They don't know these things.
That was the Tower of Babbling on A Disciple's View.
On a personal note today, I want to answer an email, and it is so relatable to me. I've been blessed to have young friends. They give me a certain energy because of how I choose to work out and how I choose to train. I often end up working out with 35, 36-year-old guys. God's given me a big love of CrossFit and activities like that. So I've ended up with a large number of young friends, and this email really resonates with me because, man, Satan is just parading through young marriages these days. It's very, well... It can be kind of hopeless feeling. And this is from Elizabeth, and I'm going to try my best on the name of the city. Cahawaba, Alabama. I think I got that right. Elizabeth writes, Dear Todd, I listened to your program of Disciples View and began viewing your YouTube videos. I enjoy the fact that you compare God's word to news, and it seems that God always wins. Ha ha. The reason I'm writing is because my sister made a horrible mistake in her marriage, and she had a brief affair with a man. In her defense, her husband spends a lot of time away from the house, far too much, in my opinion, sometimes weeks at a time, and she became very lonely. I saw this man approaching my sister. I saw her intending to spend time with him as a friend and just get the support. And she ended up in this decision to make that made a terrible decision and had a brief affair with him. I think he set out to have this affair. I think he saw that my sister was lonely. I don't think he has the capacity to care for her the way she needs. I begged her simply to go back to the marriage, to confess if she can to her husband, to confess to the church to go back to the marriage. It appears she's making the other decision. I fear she's going to leave her husband and end up with this man. She has three kids, and she is not listening to me. Could you advise me on anything to say to her? You're such a better speaker than I am. Elizabeth from Cahawaba, Alabama. Sadly, Elizabeth, I've thought a lot about this. And so I might say this. Being lonely and married is a very difficult thing. Sometimes I've had people describe it to me as doubly lonely. You're lonely, but you can't seek partnership of the opposite sex. And I know that people will say, well, you could achieve that with partners of the, with friends of the same sex. And for a lot of people, that's true. You could have great supportive male relationships as a man. And I've had other friends tell me, yeah, but it's not the same. But I would say this to your sister about this man. She made a terrible mistake. They made that mistake together. She is in the body of Christ. I understand what you're telling me. She made a terrible mistake. The Lord Jesus will cleanse her of that. But I would say this about that man. If a man does not view your marriage as inviolable, as sacred, if he doesn't view your word, your vows to God as sacred, why would he view your mothership as sacred? Why would he view that sacred role you've been given as mother as a sacred thing? I mean, after all, he's got his desires. Now, it might be that in this case, Elizabeth, this man was also very desperate. Maybe he'd had very sad things happen to him. Maybe he'd never met a woman like your sister. So his needs, his desperation, this is the excuse? People fall. People make mistakes. I've made them. We all have. My concern would be for her kids. I have trouble believing that a man who had such little regard for marital vows, for a sacred marriage, who decided, as you describe it, to pursue this woman, and at a point of weakness to get what he wanted, which was sexual activity, and perhaps emotional support, almost no doubt some form of emotional support. If she ends up with this man, and it wouldn't be ending up, she would go do this. If she decides to pursue a long-term relationship with this man, I have trouble believing that right now, when this man's desires are such, that her three kids aren't going to be a problem for him. I mean, he wants a girlfriend. So how is it then that your sister cannot see this pledge that she made being inviolable? Let's go through this. The children are the result of the marriage. Innocent. Created by God in his image. The result of a pledge that she made to her husband in front of God. And she's been given this sacred responsibility. Those kids know this. They sense the sacred responsibility. if she chooses this other way with this man. The kids are going to sense that too. Oh, we're at risk. You don't think they're going to sense that? The safety of the family unit, the biological mother and father, is to some degree like the safety of the womb. There are, in fact, biological fathers who become abusive. There's biological mothers who become abusive. But the statistics are these. The strongest predictor of domestic violence in a family is a stepfather. The strongest predictor. The most dangerous person, statistically speaking, in the life of a child is a stepfather or a live-in boyfriend. I'm well aware there are people listening to this who are stepfathers saying, don't count me in that. And I'm not. I'm not. I know some stepfathers who are wonderful fathers. I'm speaking from a perspective of statistics. So you have two people in a moment of desperation and loneliness who choose to seek solace, first emotionally, it becomes physical, it should end there, it doesn't. And now a man, perhaps, God forbid, marrying your sister as a second marriage. What happens when times become desperate? Because the glow, the fun, frankly, the sex, after a while, it's going to go the same direction. There's going to be desperation. You may go through seasons of loneliness. A man who did not view your marriage as inviolable, as sacred, he may well say the kids are the problem. We need to go on vacations on our own. These stinking kids are around too often. They're disrupting our flow. I would ask your sister to pray about that. Don't make the hurt extend to your kids. Keep the hurt between you and your husband and this man. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations. Until God gives us permission to speak again together, may His peace wash over you. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.